to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone had a nice day yesterday at Labor Day. We had a few phone calls here in the office. We kept everything spooled up as always. We're getting all your packages out to you today as fast as physically possible. So we appreciate your support on that. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great. My alma mater got themselves a good old-fashioned taken out back beating last night by Virginia Tech. Florida State lost big time at Doak Campbell Stadium. And it was pretty bad. We look like a team with a brand new coach, which is exactly what we are. And I've never seen the Seminoles play that bad, and it got to be on prime time on a Monday night, so I thought that was real special for all the alumni. But you know, here's what's interesting also at Florida State, and I got a comment on this. School days are here again. Help. Florida State University is launching a mandatory program to teach incoming students about resilience and coping skills, but it would allow students to opt out if they have experienced significant trauma. The new Student Resilient Project is designed to help strengthen student emotional and academic coping skills, according to the frequently asked questions on the program website. The evidence-informed public universal health style prevention program, the website explains, is intended to destigmatize mental health issues and encourage people seeking, among other students, dealing with trauma or stress. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second on this, because this is my alma mater, and I'm going to talk about this. Every year in every major university in the United States, pretty much all of them, as far as I know, students come in there as freshmen at the age of 18. And because they've been pressured to go to college and they don't want to go to college, or they're trying to get into a graduate program like a law program or a medical program or whatever, and they pressure themselves for high grades, or they're trying to maintain their scholarships with high grades, or their parents have said, if you don't maintain a certain GPA, which is, of course, the parents' right if they're playing for the college, you know, you're basically going to be pulled out. And so a lot of kids get to school, Austin, and they start stressing themselves out over grades, over peer pressure, the loss of friends. And a lot of these kids now, because these snowflake millennials have had their heads buried in a doggone iPhone for the past 10 years, they have no coping skills or interactive skills, and they sit in their dorm rooms by themselves on their phone and become unbelievably depressed. And a lot of these kids, a lot of them, of course, I'm not saying thousands of them, but dozens of them all over the United States every single year commit suicide. They hang themselves in the dorms, or they overdose on drugs, or they overdose on alcohol, and they die. And so Florida State's put this program together to try to help these kids. Now, the one thing that we need to realize here is this. This is a systemic problem throughout all the major university systems. It's not just about Florida State having a bunch of snowflakes, because all the universities have a bunch of snowflakes now. And kids need to realize that, you know, when you first go to college, you really need to have some good coping skills. That's why I recommend, Austin, that all the children, if at all possible, go to a local junior college or community college or state school for at least an AA degree the first 2 years of school to make this transition more palatable from an emotional and psychological standpoint. Now, also, I personally, if I was a child up there, I wouldn't get involved with these clowns as far as having myself diagnosed with some type of mental disorder and being in a program like this. I would go to something like the Baptist Campus Ministry, or your denomination probably has the same thing on campus at the major universities, and go to one of their counselors, because they'll give you free counseling for free. It's not going to show up on some kind of Medical Information Bureau Men in Black database that you've got a psychological problem, that you need to be on Prozac or Zoloft or some other horrible disease or other chemical for the rest of your life. So, yes, children need to be aware of what's going to happen in college. I've had multiple friends, their children have gone to colleges and basically have flunked out the first year. I mean, it's crazy. Also, I went to my 45th college high school reunion a few months ago, and pretty much every single child, man, young man that went to Florida State or the University of Florida, major schools in the state of Florida, right out of high school, every one of them quit after the first year. Most of them didn't make it through the first semester. It's because it's too much. It's too much on a young brain dealing with that. Now, what I do with Harrison, you guys know this, I kept you at a local university here, let you stay at home for the first couple of years. Same thing I did with Harrison, and he was able to actually finish the first 4 years of college still living at home, which made the transition into the university structure system in Tallahassee a lot more manageable. So I commend Florida State for doing this. However, I don't think they should be including anything in the medical information bureaus with these kids. And I do recommend that people who send their children to college make sure these kids are going to be well managed and well cared for, and from a trauma-based system, because you don't need your kids going off to school and hurting themselves. You just don't need to have that happen. And by the way, Colin Kaepernick has just signed a multi, we believe, million-dollar deal with Nike. And, you know, the man basically, they're not really disclosing the amounts of money, but some estimates are as high as $10 million. That is an estimate on my part. And let me kind of give you some information on this real quick. Here's one. This is an article out of Breitbart. It says, well done, colon. John Brennan gushes over Colin Kaepernick's Nike's campaign, John Brennan being a devout communist, as he's already admitted. Former CIA director John Brennan, now an MSNBC commentator and frequent critic of President Donald Trump, praised former quarterback Colin Kaepernick for his new Nike campaign. Well done, said the communist. He wrote approvingly on Twitter Monday evening to the athlete who once wore socks to football practice that portrayed police officers as pigs. Now, let's go to the next article on this. You're going to figure out where I'm going with this in just a minute. Nike shares drop as Kaepernick ad triggers calls for boycott. Remember, this man completely and totally disgraced himself, his team, and basically spat in the face of the entire population of the United States by kneeling at our national anthem, which is his right to do. But he showed us that we shouldn't be supporting this guy. Personally, I'll never buy another pair of Nike tennis shoes. Shares of Nike were down by as much as 3% on Tuesday after the sportswear giant chose anthem-kneeling activist Colin Kaepernick as the face for the 30th anniversary of his iconic Just Do It slogan. Kaepernick was the first NFL player to totally and completely disgrace himself and bring shame upon the United States of America to kneel during a national anthem. Now, keep going here with me for just a minute. Let's go ahead and figure a little bit more about what we're talking about here, and you guys are going to know where I'm going. Now, you have to ask yourself, what in the world are we doing here? What in the world is happening in the United States of America? Why is it that people like this Colin Kaepernick are being given huge amounts of money for shaming himself? So let's start back with the Russian Revolution. Now, you guys are going, oh, gosh, here goes Ted again. We're going to do some history stuff. Yeah, we are going to do some history stuff. Because, guys, the problem with this, this is the same group of revolutionary people that started the Russian Revolution, moved it into Germany, moved it into the United States, took over Hollywood. It's the communist, socialist, primarily Ashkenazi Jewish folks that were running the entire communist revolution in Russia. Probably over 90% of the people involved were Ashkenazi Jews. Now, you think, well, what does that mean? Well, it means there is a particular type of Jews, like you have the Sephardic Jews and the Ashkenazi Jews, which basically come out of the eastern part in the Ukraine area. And so what's interesting about all of this is, let's look at Nike. Let's look at the leadership. You say, well, this sounds like a Jew bashing show. No. Here's why I'm doing this. I want to see how many socialists are in charge of Nike, how many Jewish people are in charge of Nike that are extreme communists, extreme socialists. Look at Brennan. He's admitted to being a communist. Now he's praising Kaepernick. So let's ask ourselves the question, who's running Nike? Who's in charge of this? And let me give you the names of some of the CFOs, and I'm only going to name the ones that are Jewish. So there's other ones in there. There's a few other ones that aren't, but I just want to go ahead and name this, do this for you. By the way, who in the world is the chairman of the board of the directors of Nike? That's Philip H. Knight, by the way. He's Jewish. Who's the president and CEO of Nike? That's Mark Parker. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's Jewish, too. How about the EVP and CFO? That's Don Blair. Oh, that's right. He's another Ashkenazi Jew. Okay, let's just keep going down the list here. Then let's look at this one. Let's ask ourselves, who's in charge of the EVP of Global Sports Marketing? Oh, that's John Schlusher. Oh, he's also an Ashkenazi Jew. Well, it can't be. Not all of them, no. Who's the COO? Well, that's Eric Sprook. He's also an Ashkenazi Jew. You think, okay, well, if they're all Ashkenazi Jews, they're the ones who started the Russian Revolution, and they're the ones that are hardcore socialists, Nike can't be the only company like that. They can't be the only people like that. So let's just take a look at some of the other ones. Let's look at Target. Target is the bastion of conservatism nowadays, with their dual bathrooms and having gay bathrooms and transgender bathrooms. Now, guys, I'm sorry. This is one of those shows today that you guys are going to get. And Austin, you know I'm right. Let's look at Target. Okay, the president, chairman, and CEO, he's Greg Steinhoffel. He's an Ashkenazi Jew. Okay, let's look at executive vice president, general counsel, and corporate secretary. That's Timothy R. Baer. He's also an Ashkenazi Jew. Well, how about president of Target in Canada? That's Anthony S. Fisher. He's just also an Ashkenazi Jew. I'm going to drop the Ashkenazi stuff. I was going to talk about whether they're Jewish or not, because there's no point in saying that. It's too hard to talk about. Let's talk about Beth M. Jacobel. That's a hard one. She's Jewish. She's Executive Vice President, Target Technology Service and Information Officer. How about the Executive Vice President, Chief Marketing Officer for Target? Oh, that's Jeffrey Jones. He's also a Jewish fellow. How about the Executive Vice President of Human Resources? That's Jodine Kozlak. Oh, yeah, that's right. She's also an Ashkenazi Jew. How about Executive Vice President in the stores? That's Tina Scheifel. She's also Jewish. How about Executive Vice President of Merchandising and Supply Chain? She's Kathleen Tessagia. That's right. She's also Jewish. Now you think, well, can't you stop with these guys? There have to be other companies that aren't like this, Ted. It can't be this way. Why do you think it's this way? Let's look at Walt Disney. Let's just pick my favorite place to visit. Let's pick Walt Disney. Okay, who controls the Walt Disney Company? Robert Iger. Well, he's Ashkenazi Jew, chairman, CEO. Well, how about who's the chairman of Walt Disney International, the Walt Disney Company? Oh, that's Andy Bird. He's also an Ashkenazi Jew. Let's talk about the senior executive vice president, general counsel, and secretary of the Walt Disney Company. That's Alan Braverman. He's also Jewish. Well, how about the senior vice president of global security of the Walt Disney Company? That's also Ronald Iden. He's Jewish. How about the executive vice president of corporate strategy and business development of the Walt Disney Company? He's Kevin Mayer. He's also, you already know. How about the executive vice president, chief communications officer of the Walt Disney Company? That's Zena Mucho. Well, you already guessed that one. Executive vice president and chief human resources officer of the Walt Disney Company? That's Jane Parker. Yeah, you guys were right again. How about the senior executive vice president and chief financial officer of the Walt Disney Company? That'd be Ray Raslulo. He's also, you already know, senior vice president of planning and control of the Walt Disney Company. That would be Brent Woodford. Oh, by the way, that's you guys who are right again. This goes on and on and on and on. Disney has one of the most liberal work policies. Over 50% of their employees are gay. Look at Target. Look at Nike. Heaven forbid we go to Amazon. Heaven forbid we go to Starbucks. And look at their it's the same. It's the same. And what's happened is this group of communists have come over to the United States. These are liberal, hardcore communist, socialist, want a revolution in the United States, want communism implemented in the United States, like Brennan, hardcore communists. And these people are running the United States of America through their interlocking corporate directorships, controlled through the Rothschild Corporation, who are also, already know. And so this is what's going on right now. So we've got to stop and we've got to look at this. We've got to say, wait a minute. Are we really going to support these people, Austin? Are we really going to go out now that Colin Kaepernick is getting who knows how much money from Nike to basically blaspheme, defame, ridicule, make fun of our national anthem and the symbol of the United States, to discredit the American flag, to destroy the right brain interface with the symbology of the American flag, to bring it under ridicule for the United States, and all the men and all the women that have fought and died in the wars so that they can do this in this country, they have the audacity to hire a man who has thrown underfoot all of these men who have died for the United States of America, all of the people from 1776 and on who've died to prevent this country from falling into the abyss of the ash of history as far as in a heap of dung. And we have a guy right now who is sitting here who's just been hired as their spokesperson who has completely and totally done this. These are the communists. These are the socialists. These are the people that have decided that they don't like the United States of America, and they sure in the H-E-double-six don't like you, they don't respect you, or they never would have hired this guy as a doggone spokesperson. They are going to the left, they are going to the other folks that are socialists and communists, and that's their target market. And I'm not going to allow them to have any of their products in my house again. That's me on a rant today, Austin. What do you think?
Well, and the sad part about this whole thing is what they're doing here is the symbolism, the meaning, everything they're doing here is they're completely contradicting the American dream, the entire American Constitution, and the entire aspect of the ethics and morals and support of our country as a base. And what do I mean by that? If you look at the ad, because I looked at it earlier and analyzed it, they have a big close-up photo of Kaepernick, and then in the words in front of it, on him, it says, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." Now,
you can't get any more far from the truth.
With this goon, who, by the way, they already stated had a net worth of at least $25 to $30 million after his contract was voided when he was let go by the 49ers. $25 to $30 million contract still, as far as his net worth, is what he still had, on top of what he's going to be getting from Nike now. So this guy, who with the Nike thing is probably going to have a net worth in excess of $40 million, is saying, stand for something, even if it means you sacrifice everything. First off, all he did was kneel in full disrespect for the American population and the people that have died in this country, his dad said, since 1776. He made no statement. He made no expression as far as of what he was doing. People tried to come out now and say, you know, this protest was not anti-American. It was blatantly to basically defeat racism. Well, the problem is his own statements show that he equated American pride in the American way with racism. So he completely contradicted America as a whole. The choice of Kaepernick sparked tens of thousands of people now to basically use the hashtag Nike boycott. And what's ironic is because when he stated this, he contradicted his own thing they're putting right here. He stated, "I am not going to stand up and show pride in a flag for any country that oppresses black people and people of color." At the same time, he's standing there with a net worth of $25 million and signed a contract with the 49ers for $140 million over a seven-year period with, I think, a $15 million signing bonus. You can't contradict yourself much more than that without literally looking like a complete and total buffoon. Oh, wait, no, he does look like a complete and total buffoon. And the fact that he's getting recognition, and I don't even want to talk about him today on the show, but Dad and I both discussed and said this has to get brought up because this is way more than trying to promote this kneeling in the NFL. That's all bread and circus at the base of it. This is all stemming to a much larger, larger picture that they're trying to portray on the American population, and that is that the American population no longer matters. We're pushing the communist socialist values down your throat, and you're going to like it no matter what we say or do. You're going to accept it, and that's what they're doing now. Not only was this man blatantly disrespectful to the American population, Nike has now spat in the face of the American population, and I really, truly hope that the American population gets off their obsession with tennis shoes and stops spending $200 and $300 for a pair of these stupid shoes that are made in another country at slaves' wages, and stop supporting a country that is full-blown communist at its core. Because, like I said, I got a couple tennis shoes I bought on sale, and I've had Nikes over the past. I never buy them new, and I will never buy another pair. I won't buy a used pair. I won't buy any pair of tennis shoes from them or a company they support now. Period. We'll never do it again, because this is something we cannot, absolutely, and I repeat, cannot compromise on. When we have a company that is a multi-billion-dollar company that is going to blatantly spit in the face of the American population and support a disrespectful brat who's worth tens of millions of dollars and blatantly put him out on advertisement now to show him as the new face of Nike, nah, we're done. At least around here and all my friends and everybody I know, we're over this crap. So I'm glad we had to bring it up today, but definitely something that had to get talked about. And one thing that I did want to say is, because this kind of added on to the end of it, I saw this article a few minutes ago with the Washington Redskins. I don't know if you guys saw this earlier, but I thought it was really ironic and humorous, because now we're starting to see law enforcement do their own type of disrespect back to the NFL. The Washington Redskins allowed 11 of their
fake news. buddy. That didn't happen. I verify. I apologize. I don't want to interrupt that on that, bud. But that never happened, and I tried to verify it, and it basically came up as fake news, and I didn't want you giving that. I profusely apologize.
Good. There you go. I just pulled it up a second ago on there and popped up with another article.
I read it, and I thought, this is great, but no, this has been a story. What happened is somebody came out with a cover story that the police department basically walked out on the Washington Redskins team for taking the knee, and they ended up basically couldn't get out of their locker room because they were afraid the fans were going to kill them, and they basically had to spend the night and do a slumber party in the doggone locker room, and all of that stuff is just fake news, and it was out on Steve Quayle's website today. That's why I pulled it up, and I actually contacted Steve, and I let him know that was basically incorrect information. We pulled it out. I apologize to you, Austin, for interrupting you like that, but I just didn't want people thinking that was real.
No, good call on that. Like I said, I pulled up with the Kaepernickel stuff at the beginning of the show when I was trying to add on to it.
And one more thing I want to cover with Kaepernickel. If you look at Kaepernickel, or Kaepernickel, or whatever his name is, I like Kaepernickel better. You look at Kaepernickel, and you look at his – if he ever pulls his shirt off, you get a picture of him. He's covered in tattoos. He's covered in ink. I mean, all over his body. A new study just came out that says the more ink someone has, the angrier they are, according to a study. When you think of a person covered in tattoos, you probably think of a total bad butt. But now one study suggests that the bad butt is probably an angry one. Yes, you read that right. Research indicates that people who have tattoos report higher levels of verbal aggression and reactive rebelliousness. There you go, according to The Guardian. In other words, the more ink someone has, the angrier they probably are. And you know what? I believe that because I have seen people who are covered in ink, and these guys have a chip on their shoulder, and they're always wanting to get into a fight in the majority of them, not all of them. Now, a lot of these guys will do it when they're young, Austin, and they turn right back around, and they get older, and they're thinking, why do I have all these stupid tattoos on my body? You say, well, you don't like tattoos, Ted? I could care less about tattoos. Now, God doesn't like tattoos. He talks about it in the book in the Old Testament, about not to put these things on your body. But if you've got a tattoo and you didn't know that God didn't like it, it's one of those things like, oh, well, I've got a tattoo. Unless you want to have it laser removed, I wouldn't worry about it. But I wouldn't go out and intentionally have a tattoo put on my body because God's really clear about that in the Old Testament. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the reason they did that, a lot of the Moloch and Baal worshippers used to tattoo their bodies. And so it just really irritates God. In fact, it really kind of takes him off, to be honest with you, when you put tattoos on your body. But again, we're not in Old Testament anymore. We're now under grace. And we have to understand that being under grace means that we can, if we do something wrong, we can ask God just to forgive us for doing it and walk on down the road because the grace is sufficient for us. Am I saying that I'm completely diametrically opposed to tattoos? Yeah, I am, because of the word. Also remember too, guys, when you put tattoo ink in your body, you don't know what kind of dyes they're using. They could have lead, they could have arsenic, they could have all kinds of mercury. You don't know what they're using to manufacture those colors with them, those pigments, and you're putting all of those toxic dyes directly into your skin, into your bloodstream, which is not a good idea. What do you think, son?
Yeah, I agree with you. There's really not a useful purpose to it. Like Dad said, if you've already gotten them in the past and you've got them there, then it is what it is. But I've known too many people that actually, I talked to Alana about this the other day because she had a friend that actually got one a while back ago before she knew much about it. And it was a red tattoo, and she had a huge allergic reaction to it after she got it, and actually ended up going in and had to have laser removal on it. It was a whole debacle on it because it ended up getting infected. Then she had a huge reaction after the infection was down. The ink was actually trying to push back out because her body was rejecting that red coloring that was in that ink. So, I mean, the idea about it, the aspect of it, the true usefulness of it, I'm a very utilitarian type of person. I think something doesn't have a very specific use, or I don't significantly enjoy it, or it doesn't bring me any type of, monetary gain or gain to help other people out or benefit other people, it really doesn't provide any useful purpose to me. And spending thousands and thousands of dollars to go through hours and hours of seat time to get ink added onto my body that I really don't need, that doesn't benefit me, that has no resale value and doesn't benefit anybody else around me, I just don't really see the point in it. And like I said, if you've had them before and you got them, it is what it is. I mean, you already got them there. But if you have them, there's really no reason to add more of them to your body. There's no useful purpose to them, in my opinion.
I totally agree, Austin. By the way, the University of Kansas. go ahead. We got another story?
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to add real quick, too, this is bothering me earlier with Amazon, because I saw the article that came out on today, and I actually just had a phone call with another manufacturer, because so many people are having issues now with Amazon, and Amazon refusing to meet MAP pricing and actually intentionally undercutting everybody on Amazon to keep the lowest price. And I saw this today, and it really frustrated me. I saw it literally 30 minutes after I had the phone conversation with this manufacturer, and it said Amazon share price today now becoming the third company in history to top the $1 trillion market cap after Apple and PetroChina. Bezos' net worth is now nearing $170 billion as Amazon hits the $1 trillion market cap. And I talk about this all the time, and can people obviously continue to support this unbelievably dark company? Not only do they treat their employees like gutter trash, they are setting up to be one of the global companies that will own and control everything. And a lot of people laugh at me when I say that. They're a $1 million market cap company, guys, and they've literally put almost every main retailer out of business now. Do you think this is a game to them? They're not playing anymore at Amazon. They're going to do everything they can to monopolize the entire retail market, and they're doing so right in front of us. Hence why they bought up Whole Foods. Hence why they're trying to buy up and start distributing pharmaceutical drugs on Amazon. I talked to a supplier manufacturer today about a new product that I wanted to carry, just as a kind of a side product that's really good. And I was asking him, because I said the distributor that we were basically pushed to order the product from as a distributor, was selling the product for like $17.99 a bottle. And so I called them up because I said, well, can you get a better price on this? They said, no, that's our distributor price to you guys as a retailer. And I said, the same product is on Amazon for $16.80 a bottle. I said, Amazon is selling the product $1.20 cheaper than your main distributor is selling the bottle. So I called up the manufacturer today and raised Cain with him. I said, what is going on with you guys? I said, how are you guys allowing this to happen? He goes, well, we already cut off Amazon. He goes, we don't supply them anymore. He goes, they were coming in and buying 10,000 bottles at a time, and they refused to honor our MAP pricing. You know, our retail on it would be X amount, and we told them MAP pricing had to be X amount. And he goes, they intentionally put their price the lowest on the website to beat everybody else's price and completely disregard MAP pricing. He goes, but we were getting huge $10,000 and $20,000 purchase or 20,000 bottle purchase orders in from them. So we kind of let it go for a while till finally our owner said, we're not doing it anymore. We're essentially cutting you guys off. And this is the second time I've heard about this now. What he told me was, is they have shadow purchasers now that are coming in, and that is how Amazon is funding a lot of their inventory for these guys. What they come in now is a new retailer comes in and says, hey, we need to order 2,000 bottles. Amazon's been doing 10,000, 20,000 at a time. They need to order 2,000 bottles. So they send in basically their retail sales thing and everything. They go in and they start ordering large amounts of it. Of course, they are not putting it on their website. It's all a front. They're turning around and sending it right to Amazon, as they're basically a shadow buyer for Amazon. They're doing this with 4, 5, 6, 7 different shadow companies. Amazon keeps the inventory at the end of the day. They still put it on their website. That's how they continue to fulfill the orders. They keep the price the same. Then by the time this company, this manufacturer, figures out who these shadow companies are, they try to cut them off. Well, when they cut them off, they lose a huge portion of their business. At the same time, other companies that are coming in are doing the exact same thing. So they have to start going in and vetting every single company that wants to come in and put a purchase order for more than 400 or 500 bottles at a time. They have to go in and do a full background check on the website, make them sign all these papers basically stating, if you do this, you're basically going to be liable for lawsuit, blah, 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 blah. It's a total nightmare. And it's funny because there's another product that we sell, completely different company, and this is when I was at first exposed to this. I went in to place another pretty large order, and the lady asked me, she goes, are you buying this for Amazon? I said, no. I said, I already told you guys. I already signed papers. I'm not selling on Amazon. I said, I will not do that to you guys. I give you my word. And she goes, well, your volume is higher than expected, and we think you're basically selling on Amazon. I said, I'm not selling on Amazon. She goes, are you selling to Amazon? I said, I'm not selling to anybody. I'm selling to my customers that I love on my website. And she goes, well, we got to put a hold on your order for a day, and we basically have to do an investigation into it to make sure you're not selling to Amazon. And at first, I had no idea what was going on. I said, this doesn't make any cotton picking sense to me whatsoever. Then finally, after she did this, and I talked to this other manufacturer today, I said, this is making sense now. They are literally going in and buying up every single product they can on the wholesale market, distributing it at pennies on the dollar. It doesn't matter. You got to remember, guys, if they only make a dollar on a bottle of something, but they sell 100,000 bottles of it a month, that means they're still grossing, actually in profit, $1.2 million a year. If their net profit is only a dollar a bottle and they're selling 100,000 bottles a month, they're netting $1.2 million on that product every year. That's how they're working, and that's how they're continuing to grow and become such a profitable company and literally shut every single retailer in and out of the market. Now, everybody goes, okay, Austin, well, isn't this good for the end consumer? Aren't we basically getting prices now at wholesale, you know, manufacturing distribution costs in bulk, you know, what you buy by the pallet, we're able to buy by the bottle, and we're basically getting it prime, free shipping in 2 days? Yeah, you are. The issue that's going to happen now, and this is something that anybody that has taken managerial marketing understands, is this is the template of predatory pricing. They are going in now, and they're completely undercutting every single wholesaler, every single retailer in the market on every single product that they can. That's why almost all these big companies, Sears, Bed Bath & Beyond's even having issues now from what I've heard. Toys R Us, all these guys are going under. They're shutting down. They're literally filing bankruptcy, shutting their doors. They're gone for good. That's the first part of it. That's brick and mortar retail. They're shutting down. The next step is they're going to start shutting down online retailers because most companies can't make a profit on selling a dollar a bottle on free shipping. It doesn't work. You go into the negative every month. So what's going to start happening is more and more online retailers are going to start going out of business because they're not going to be able to fulfill orders on a dollar a bottle. It can't be done. So as more and more online retailers go out of business, Amazon is going to continue to maintain their business model, and as these retailers go out, Amazon's going to slowly start raising their price on whatever they have to in order to keep the price right under what these retailers are selling it for. Now, once the majority of retailers are out of business, do you not think that Amazon is going to raise their prices back up to full-blown retail pricing, and in order it's going to make Amazon a multi-trillion dollar company at the end of the day? This is the model they use. This is textbook predatory pricing, and is exactly what they're doing right now, hence why they just hit the trillion-dollar market cap. So lest you believe Amazon's your friend and Amazon's your little buddy and they're taking care of you, giving you these really great prices and really good deals and this really cool Prime account, they are in it for one thing. That is to own and control the entire market and to make as much money as physically possible off the back of the American population. So they are not your friend. They don't care about you. The only reason they even have mediocre customer service, which I call it that very clearly, mediocre customer service, is because they're trying to keep and win the clientele that they have right now and put everybody else out of business. Once they're a full-blown monopoly and once they have their pricing through the roof, they won't give a rat's butt what your customer service opinion is of them, nor will they care about the pricing, nor they care about the return policy. They will literally own the market. And then as soon as a retailer comes in, that's how they do it every time. As soon as another retailer comes back into the market, they say, listen, there's a hole in this market. Amazon's basically the monopoly. We're going to come in. We have a few niches we can get into with products. We're going to start selling this product, this product, this product. Amazon immediately is going to do an algorithm on them, figure them out what's the lowest they can sell the product for and still make a slight bit of money. Amazon will then carry every product this retailer is carrying and sell it for literally pennies on the dollar if they have to put that retailer retailer right back out of business, so then they can take those products and raise them right back to the retail pricing again, thus keeping their retail monopoly. That is what Amazon is doing. That is why they hit the $1 trillion market cap today. That is why Amazon is not your friend. And the more people support this giant, giant monopoly, the more it is going to come back to take a giant bite out of our butts at the end of the day. That is not even going into the realm of them being in bed with the CIA and every other global asset in the entire world and what they're going to do as far as being the global retailer on the next level. That's just the next step. I don't even want to get into that right now. It's going to make me too irritated. But that is what they're doing, Dad. That's why I wanted to bring that up today so people understand how they're doing, what they're doing, why they're becoming so big, and what is going to happen after they own the entire market.
Well, no, that was a phenomenal analogy. It just made a lot of sense because that's exactly what they're going to do. And so once they own the market, then the prices are going to go sky high. It's like, you know, like with Spectrum. You know, Spectrum bought up Brighthouse, our local cable provider. Prices have gone through the roof, and we have no choice. We don't have any other providers in this area. And it doesn't make any difference. It's predatory pricing. It's what monopolies always do. And it's just that they want to increase the shareholder profits, and they want to basically pay out as many dividends as they can or increase their stock prices as much as they possibly can so that the chief executives who are running the whole show, when they get their stock options and bonuses, it's all based upon the total profitability of the companies. They get these multi 20, 30, 40, 50, $100 billion, some of them $1 billion a year in bonuses, $1 billion a year, no joke. Yep. What are you doing with $1,000 million? That's a lot of cash. How could you possibly ever spend all that in multiple lifetimes? See, and this is what they've done. They take these mom and pop health food stores, mom and pop retailers, and they drive them out of business. And it's sad because there's nothing you can do about it if you're a mom and pop retailer, if you got bricks and mortar on the, and you're having to pay for all the overhead. See, that's why I want to thank you guys. I mean, you know, Health Masters, we have our products manufactured by basically a pharmaceutical laboratory out of Orlando. And, you know, we have the highest quality supplements in the world, period. You can't find anything better. I guarantee it. You can't find anything better. And so you guys come in and you support our show, and you can support us and support our families. Because remember, you know, and that's what I always try to do. When I have people that I know, Austin, I always try to buy stuff from wherever they work, or if they own a business, I try to support their business. Why is that?
Yep.
Why would I go somewhere else? In other words, if I've got a friend who has an air conditioning company and he's buying supplements from me, and he asks, and I have to have a new AC system put in, I call him up first and I say, hey, dude, you know, in fact, we've got one guy, his name's Dexter. He does all of our repairs for all of our AC systems. He buys supplements from us. We give him all of our AC work. Why? Because we're supporting each other. Because if we all do that, I mean, like a lot of you guys say, well, I'm not getting my multiple vitamins anywhere else besides Health Masters. And my response is, thank you, thank you, thank you. If just everybody listening today got a bottle of multiple vitamins from us every day, which is, every month to $25, that'll pay for the cost of the show. And it keeps everything paid for, and it allows us to feed our families and do all the things that we do. See, that's what nobody understands, is that if we all work together, see, the globalists don't want that. They don't want unity of the believer. That's what the Bible talks about. It's the unity of the believer. If we all support each other and put each other first and help each other, what ends up happening is we get into a situation where everybody is blessed. They don't want you to do that. They don't want you to. They want all your stuff. All these guys that run all these major corporations that we talked about today, all these guys, they're basically just, they have the disease of greed, and that's what they've had for, you know, thousands of years. And these same groups of people want everything you have, and then they want to put you out of business, and they want to enslave the entire planet. This is the whole Rothschild mantra, guys. It's what they believe, and it's sad. And they've gone into our university system. Let me give you two quick articles on this. We got some health stuff today. UC Berkeley is now offering classes on deconstructing whiteness. Unbelievable. The University of California, Berkeley, is offering a course entitled Deconstructing Whiteness this semester on campus. The course, which was first reported on by Campus Reform, will focus on the negative aspects of being a white person and the responsibility of what white people have to do to take a stand against white people and renounce their own whiteness. The course will also address concepts like environmental racism, gentrified food practices, and white comfort coddling. You say, what the heck? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not even making this stuff up. This weekend, my attorney, who's also a real estate guy, he's a brilliant guy, brilliant genius, Mensa guy, one of those guys. He was talking to me the other day, and he sent me a link, and basically said, "Joy, Ted and Austin are going to love this." And I read the link, and listen to this, guys. He's got a listing for a $1.2 million condo on Clearwater Beach. I mean, one of the prettiest beaches in Florida. Beautiful, yeah. White, pristine sands. I mean, the place is great. So he puts in the ad with the Florida real estate people to basically list this condo. And he says on the ad, beautiful condominium on the beach, on the beautiful white sandy beaches of Clearwater. And they kicked it out. And he contacted him back and they said, "Why'd you kick it out?" He said, "Well, you used the word white." And he goes, "What?" He goes, "You used the word white." And I'm like, "White?" I called him back. His name's John Parvin. And I said, John, did they really kick your ad back because you said white beaches?" He goes, "Yeah, they kicked it out. I said I couldn't say white." So it has to be like the pristine beaches of Clearwater Beach, the shining beaches of Clearwater Beach, the amazing beaches of Clearwater Beach, but you can't say white sandy beaches because it implies that blacks can't come here. And I said, "It does not. It says the sand is white." He goes, "Oh, that's not what they think. That's not what they think." And I'm like, unbelievable that this is actually going on with white sandy beaches. I said, "Hey, what would they do about the black sandy beaches of Hawaii with the volcanoes? Can you not say black is all? They don't care about that." And I'm like, "This is stupid. How could a beach indicate a racial preference?" I said, "This is so stupid." And see, this is where we have found ourselves. Now, University of Kansas, this was going to blow your mind, is hosting a feminist parenting group to explore strategies for raising intersectional feminist children. I don't even know what that means, okay? Listen to this article. This is crazy. This is for PJ Media by Faith Moore. Here's what she says. "This semester, the University of Kansas will be hosting a feminist parenting group. The group will explore strategies for raising intersectional feminist children and empower parents and caregivers to raise children who challenge gender stereotypes in chi-arcacy, K-Y-R-I-A-R-C-H-Y, whatever the heck that word means. And then the author writes, since chiarchy isn't a word, I looked it up on Everyday Feminism, where they use lots of made-up words. Gosh, I'm not kidding. I looked it up on Everyday Feminism, where they use lots of made-up words, and found this definition. Chiarchy is best theorized as a complex pyramidal system of intersecting multiplicative social structures of superordination and subordination of ruling and oppression." Oh yeah, that makes total sense now. This is the group that's meeting. On the University of Kansas. All right, and see, here's the problem. And ladies, I'm not picking on you, because if you're listening to my show, I love you. Thank you. Because if you're not like this, you wouldn't be listening to the show. You'd have been long gone by now. Here's the thing, okay? When women get caught up in stuff like this, especially the lesbians, when they get caught up in this, they become extremely vocal, extremely opinionated, and extremely toxic. And now guys can too. I'm not just picking on women. Guys could do the same thing. They can be vocal, toxic, the whole bit. But when these women get for some reason, these women are just absolute man-haters. And I have to admit, there's some men out there that need to be hated. They're pretty awful. But there are also women out there that aren't very good either. But these women get this group going together, and they feed off of each other. I've got a friend of mine right now who's in the process of a divorce. He's conservative. He married a socialist, a communist, basically an absolute collectivist who is an absolute nutbag. And for the past 2 years, since Donald Trump won the election, she's been on this hysterical campaign of screaming and yelling and cussing and trying to convert everybody who voted for Donald Trump and putting them down and chewing them out. He took her to Europe on a vacation here a little bit ago, and the entire time they're in Europe, the Germans were trying to ask my friend's German, they were trying to ask him, "What the heck can we do? How are you keeping the people, this immigration under control in the United States? We can't do this. We've lost the unity. We've lost Germany. We've lost our cultural values." And the communist, his wife goes, "No, no, no. You've got to take more Muslims. You've got to take more immigrants. You've got to take more of these people into your country, and you have to give them free stuff and let them go ahead and have housing for free and kick the Germans out of their houses and let these people take their stuff." So my friend's going, "What the heck just happened?" So everybody's yelling at his wife. She's yelling at all the Germans. She's not even a German. And so this is going on for weeks on their vacation. He comes home and he goes, Ted, it was the vacation from hell. I didn't have a vacation. All she did was scream at my relatives to take more immigrants into the country. And why was Germany shutting down their borders now when they need to take another 20 or 30 million people in? He says, I can't even understand. She doesn't understand that nobody can pay for this. It's going to destroy Germany. So they came home. They didn't talk for days. And now they're in the process of divorce. She went so berserk, Austin, because of Donald Trump's victory. She laid on the floor and on the couch for 2 weeks, crying and screaming after Donald Trump won. My whole thing is this. These people have to have some screws loose. They have to have some screws loose. I mean, you sit there, and what does Nike say? Even if you have to destroy what you love, you've got to take a stand for something. What does that mean? Destroying the United States of America? Destroying the culture that we have right now? Destroying the freedom that we have in the United States? Don't these blithering idiots understand that when Stalin took over Russia with Lenin, the first thing he did is the people that were the hardcore sympathizers that helped him to do the revolution, he had them all killed because yep. He didn't want them around because he didn't like them either. He couldn't stand them. He killed 50 million of them, along with a bunch of Christians and other people who spoke out against communism. Guys, maybe 60 million. It could be up to 100 million. We don't even know. He killed them by the tens of thousands a day. He made Hitler look like a doggone small fry as far as killing people. And the craziest thing about this is these people don't understand, Austin, when they talk like this and they want to destroy the very fabric of the very culture they live in, all they do is destroy themselves. Now she's destroyed her own marriage. Married over 20 years, two kids. Over 20 years they've been married. Now my buddy said, I've had enough. And all she wants is a divorce because he will not capitulate. He will not lick her boots. And say, you're right, honey. We need to destroy the United States, destroy Germany. He won't do that, so now they're fighting all the time. Guys, come on, man. That's why I told you guys, especially if you're not married yet, you gotta marry and date people that have your same values. If you say to somebody, do you like Colin Kaepernick, or we're going to go out on a date, if you answer this right. They say, no, I don't like Colin Kaepernick. Okay, we can probably go out on a date now. They say, oh, he's my hero. He kneeled in the national anthem. Why? Guys, why? Why in the world would that conversation go past that point? My response to them would be, wow, you are really stupid. Please stop talking. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're really just somebody I don't want to be involved with. That's what I would say. Guys, you have to do this. You've got to talk to them about immunizations. You got to talk to them about eating clean. You got to talk to them about taking supplements. You got to, my gosh, you got to ask them about 9/11. You know, you gotta ask them if they've ever heard of Building 7. And if they say, no, I haven't, what's that? And you talk to them about it, they're open-minded. They say, wow, that's kind of nuts. Why did they tell us that? Okay, now you have a keeper. At least they want to learn. But guys, Brennan, renowned communist, says he's communist, say, go Kaepernick, go. Are you kidding me? We are getting a bigger divide in this country, Austin, than we've ever had of the people who want socialism and communism in the United States of America, who want political correctness, who want to be able to host feminist parenting groups to explore strategies for raising intersectional feminist children, which means lesbians are raising them. We're getting a bigger, bigger divide of all of these people. And UC Berkeley, which are offering classes on deconstructing whiteness and how to be ashamed of being a white person. What is wrong with these people? They got somebody dropped them on their head or they've had too much fluoride. I don't know, Austin. I'm done ranting. What are you thinking? What's your next story?
Well, the scary part about this, because I was looking at that article too before you brought it up, is that it's going all the way down the line to the infants and beyond. You know, I read further in the article too, they went and say there they have graphics now that can help people out. This is what it says, that are in doubt. One shows a gender reveal party, which if you guys don't know what that is, don't worry. I didn't know what that was until a couple years ago. Lana and I had our first child, Hunter, her son, and that's where you basically have a party, and you don't know what the baby is, whether it's a boy or a girl, male or female, and so you have like a party and then a reveal, and everybody finds out at the same time. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's kind of cool if you like that kind of thing. Okay, so whatever. Well, what they talk about now, this intersexual feminist children raising and upbringing, is that when you have a gender reveal party, instead of having blue for a boy or pink for a girl, which is the way that everybody's always done it, you have a color like green. And everybody goes, green? Why will you use green? Oh, because I want to let the child decide what gender they are. I don't want to project on them before they're born if they're a male or a female. I want them to pick whichever one they feel comfortable with. So we need to have a discussion on gender theory 101. I kid you not. This is what they're talking about now. So it's not just brainwashing these kids bad enough when they go into kindergarten and all the way through their school years into college. They're trying to do it now and push this unbelievably perverted agenda onto the children before they're even born. So when the baby comes out now, you're going to say, oh, it's not a boy, it's not a girl. It's whatever it decides to be when it grows up. I don't even know how that works. But that's what they're trying to push now, is they're trying to say, this is what it's going to be. The baby can just choose what gender it wants. We're going to do everything neutral. We're not going to put him in any type of situations that would be contradictive of what he wants or she wants, or whatever verbs and adverbs that they use now. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to keep up with them anymore. But this is where it's headed now, is complete lunacy. I mean, the level of ignorance that this shows now, it's not even, it's almost a mental aspect. Like, these people are mental, like they're lunatics. They really are mentally deranged now. The fact that you can have this type of ideology, yeah, and you really think this is acceptable, not just acceptable, but you actually think it's going to work. You think it's going to be productive in a society. It doesn't work. It never has, especially when it stoops to this level of just complete and total lunacy. But anyways, in other news, I want to get on a health topic too. Dad's got a couple of them. We only got a few minutes left. As I've got a lot of emails over the weekend on the Body Balance HEMLA, the omega-3 phospholipid that's brain and fat, water and fat soluble. Incredibly good product, not just for overall health, but for eyesight, for brain health, for everything. Well, a new research now, again, is confirming that natural omega-3 fats, especially like omega-3 phospholipids, like the one we carry in HEMLA, actually can prevent Alzheimer's. They say, go on to say here, Alzheimer's disease is currently the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. Researchers from Charité University out of Berlin study the effects that a daily dosage of 2,200 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids can have a memory function the course of 6 months. They were seeking long-term prevention method that is suitable for use in older patients and easy to make part of their daily life. The researchers found that those participants who took omega-3 fats recorded greater improvements on object location memory tasks than those who were given a placebo made out of simply sunflower oil. The researchers concluded results from the study suggest that a long-term approach to prevention is particularly effective in preserving cognitive function in older individuals. A targeted approach involves dietary supplements of high-dose omega-3 fats can play a central role in this regard. Next, they plan to investigate the effects of supplementing with a combination of vitamin B and omega-3 fatty acids. Guys, I can't stress to you how important the omega-3 fats are in the diet, especially as you get older, especially in people that are having issues like this with Alzheimer's, because it's getting worse, guys. It's not getting better, and a lot of it is due to the environmental toxins and the pollutants we're being bombarded with a daily basis, from the glyphosate to the aluminum, etc. So it is so important that you're constantly keeping your brain bathed in those omega-3 fats, and that's why right now, as popular as it is and also as needed as it is, that's why we're running the Body Balance HEMLA right now, or omega-3 phospholipid, on sale for over 40% off, the biggest sale we've ever done on that product, pretty much ever before, on the front page of the website. And we have a very limited inventory on that product, so it's only why supplies last. But I wanted to let you guys know that it's so crucial you constantly keep those omega-3 fats in your diet on a regular basis, Dad.
Awesome. I love that product. I take it on a regular basis, and I tell you, it's amazing what it does. The first time I took that product, I'll never forget it, because it goes through the blood and brain. It's fat and water soluble. It gets right to that blood-brain barrier and feeds that brain, and that's why it's been linked to reduction in Alzheimer's disease. And what I love about it is the first time I took it, I had, like, everything got real bright. All the colors around me got real bright. My ears got real sensitive. I went, whoa, what the heck? And I thought, how cool is this? And I didn't do that after the first few times, but it did that initially, because what it does, it's just one of the things that penetrates the brain so easily and feeds the tissue inside of the brain also. By the way, national health crisis. This is because of the liberals and what they've done. This is because of this is because of Playboy magazine and Hugh Hefner and all the pornography that we're all being exposed to. National health crisis. The U.S. rates of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia soar to the highest levels ever. America's facing a health nightmare unlike anything we've ever experienced before. According to the CDC, rates of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia have all skyrocketed to the highest levels on record, and top health professionals are urging coordinated national action to battle this unprecedented crisis. Even before these latest numbers, the United States had the highest STD rates in the world, and it's becoming exceedingly clear that these are rapidly getting worse. So exactly what does this say about us as a society? Is I'm telling you what it says. The liberals and the weirdos have basically got us all a bunch of sexually transmitted diseases. Sexually transmitted diseases are spreading like wildfire, and those on the front lines are not optimistic that we'll be able to turn this around. 2.3 million people every year in the U.S. alone are diagnosed with sexually transmitted diseases. That's the highest record ever reported. I mean, this is crazy. Think about it. Last year, nearly 2.3 million U.S. cases of these diseases were diagnosed. The total amount of people infected with sexually transmitted diseases in the United States, get ready for this, 110 million people. A third of our population have STDs. A third.
Wow.
A third. So if you go to a college campus and you're a senior or a freshman or whatever, you need to use protection if you're not going to wait until you're married. You need to wait till marriage. It's the best thing to do is be abstinent. But if you're not going to wait, you better use protection. And if ladies, if you have daughters, you better tell them that God better use protection. Because guys, if a third of our population has an STD, it's very easy if one out of three people have an STD that one person you may pick to go out with has an STD. It's that bad now. Make sure your kids are taking all of the things they need, the D3, the K2, the iodine, the vitamin C. And here's why. Just because you get exposed to somebody who has one of these diseases doesn't mean you're going to catch it. Why is that? Because your immune system is able to get rid of it. The people in the United States now, their immune systems have been so compromised that when they get exposed to these things, they get these diseases, they come down with them, then they've got to go on huge amounts of antibiotics and other types of drugs to get rid of this junk. Guys, what a show today. What a wild one of a show. This has been one of those screaming, yelling shows. Hope you guys enjoyed it. When I start talking about this stuff, it just irritates me so much. And I just, that's why I don't cover a lot of these topics very often, because I get too frustrated. I love you. I got to pray for you again this morning. I appreciate you guys so much. I hope you had a blessed weekend. I hope you enjoyed the show yesterday. We did a show with Sheila. I think you guys are awesome. You guys rock the planet. And thank you so much for supporting us and getting your vitamins from us. Thank you so much for allowing us to bring this show and this information to you every day. I love you. I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, guys. And yes, it is so important right now to keep your immune system as strong as physically possible, especially with all the exposures to everything that we're getting lately, because if anything were to happen, you always want to make sure that you have your immune system at tip-top shape. And that's why there's another product we're going to be carrying. I have a lot of customers have been calling in and emailing about oregano oil because of the benefits that it has on the immune system. So it's actually going to be a product that we're going to be carrying very, very soon in soft gels and in liquid. Liquid tastes pretty strong, but regardless, they're both going to be optional on the website because of the demand and how effective those products are on the immune system. And of course, like I said, if you guys want to check out the sale right now, of course, we have the product of the week, the Probiotic DF, which will be ending tonight. Changing tomorrow to the new winner, so be sure to vote on that on the website. And also, too, be sure to check out the Body Balance Himla on sale for 40% off right now. We love you guys, and we appreciate you. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.